So my fall has been caught up lots in thinking about local ministry, our church, our building being renovated and getting resettled here, and thinking about how we're going to use that as a tool for the activity and the ministry that we do, and how we use this as a tool and ministry to the community around us. But it's not good to always have our head only thinking about us and our area and the people around us, because as Christians, we believe that we have actually a calling to serve the entire world. Not everybody, but certainly some of the entire world, which is why we are a part of a global denomination called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which means that not only are we thinking about serving in our local communities like Cochrane and Calgary and Edmonton and Saskatoon, but we're thinking about cities, countries, people groups around the world who don't know about Jesus, who are facing injustice, who need food and water, who need hope and good news. And we feel we are called to work along with Jesus, to work among those peoples. And not only, as I've said, are we a denomination, we're a mission agency, and we have international workers in lots of different places around the world who are engaged in this kind of work on our behalf and in partnership with us. You may wonder, sometimes if you ever use an offering envelope, there's something called the Global Advance Fund. That is a way that you partner with Cochrane Alliance as a mission-sending agency to support this kind of work that we do as a denomination around the world. And I encourage you to consider how you might partner with us financially and prayerfully, and we would love to continue to send out men and women around the world as we have in the past. Some of those people are with us today. They got a shout-out in the prayer, but that is Mark and Paula Jones. Some of you who've been part of this church family will know the Jones. They go a long way back to the early 90s. But Mark and Paula, before they began their ministry in Asia, served for a while here in youth ministry. And so it's been neat to be able to watch the progression of their work over the years and see what God has led them to today. Today, they serve as regional developers of something we call the Asian Spice Region, which is this massive swath of land and peoples in Southeast Asia. Mark will tell you a little bit more about that. They're based in Thailand, but they have served in Laos before, lots of different countries in engaging in lots of different kinds of ministry. But right now, they supervise a team of over 100 international workers who serve with the Alliance and are engaging in all these different countries. And this year, Mark and Paula are actually serving on home assignment here in Canada. So it's a privilege. We might get to see them once or twice, this being the first time. I'm wondering if you could give them a warm Cochrane welcome. I'm going to get them to both stand. And would you welcome them here to Cochrane Alliance this morning? Mark is going to do the heavy lifting in the service today, but I want to let you know if you have would like to talk with them a little bit more, hear what Paula's voice sounds like. They are going to be with us for lunch after the service. If you didn't reserve with us, you're still welcome to come. You just need to go grab some Subway or pizza or have five coffees in place of lunch. We've only prepared for those who reserved with us, but we would love for as many of you as would like to hear more and to ask and be in dialogue with them after the service. Mark, we're delighted to have you with us and looking forward to what you're going to share.
Excellent. Thanks, Jason. Yeah, he ended the last service by saying, "Yeah, come here, Paula. She's much more interesting than Mark. So be prepared." And it's true. She's way more interesting than I am. It really is great to be here. You heard a bit of an update, lots of an update from Jason on us, a little bit about our family and where we're at right now. We're home in Canada for a year. Our eldest son, Kurt, just got married this summer to Tisha. They're living in Calgary. They both finished at Ambrose University. Our second son, Kyle, has been married for a couple of years now, a little more than a couple of years, to his wife, Brianne. And they're both students still, one at University of Calgary, one at Ambrose. And then our youngest, our daughter, Kira, just graduated from high school in Chiang Mai and has started a freshman year at Ambrose in Behavioral Sciences, and she's living at home with us. So one of the really neat things about coming home for a year, and there's actually not tons of really neat things about coming back to Canada. Asia feels really like home. But being with our kids and having easy access and having them call up and say, hey, Mom, Dad, we're just around the corner. Can we drop by for a few minutes and say hi or have lunch? It's a real treat. And it is a treat to come back to Cochrane in particular because there is a big piece of home in our hearts for you. Some of you we don't know, but many of you do, and it really is great to be back. I want to continue by saying thank you for partnering with us by sending Jason out a number of months ago. And I'll point here, but Shirley's probably not here in the service. Shirley Stevens, who joined with a prayer team recently, and your partnership in actually sending them out. So there's a picture to prove that Jason came to see us and not Hawaii vacation, although that kind of looks like Hawaii vacation, right? It was really great to travel with him in Northwest China. So just a few slides here with our workers in Urumqi and their son. Seats that we thought we could probably take over the world from. They just were big comfy seats with the camels there. Second time in China, but he figured he could lead the way and show us where to go, and then this happened. Those two things weren't actually connected, but we got sidetracked by a truck spilled over on the road, and we had to drive through a creek because of the snow. So we're glad we got Jason home to you, and maybe there's a couple more there as well. Standing on some hilltops in the Tibetan Plateau, praying for the Tibetan people, and actually being in the home, the small little hut of a Buddhist monk, a woman, and being able to share words of life in her own language, so the Bible in Tibetan that she could look at. On this property, old property where the Alliance used to work, able to dig up some things and even dug up a tombstone, which was an interesting experience. And this guy was a Muslim guy in the area that seemed to know everything about it and decided to take us on as his tour people for the day. But it was a great trip. Thank you for partnering with us. Not only your giving and your praying, but actually sending people to join us. Before I talk about updates on some of those places we visited and things that have happened since then and some other areas in the region, I do want us to dive into God's Word for just a few minutes here. And it'll be up on the screen, but if you want to, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And I'll read it for us. This is Jesus speaking. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand, where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This passage, this little mini-sermon, comes in the midst of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the second mini-sermon in what's really the larger sermon. The first part is the Beatitudes. You may have heard of those before. We're actually going to read them a little later and see how they connect. And afterwards, a whole number of lessons where Jesus covered lessons on the law, on adultery, on divorce, on giving to the needy, on prayer, and quite a number of other things. Most of those lessons didn't come in the form of metaphor, but this one does. Jesus speaks to us using metaphor. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That's what he said. And what's he trying to tell us when he says that? So let's look and figure out some things we know about salt and light that can help us understand. Salt enhances flavor. Salt is not the main event. We don't ever sit down to a meal of salt. Used in the right proportions, salt draws out the flavor that is there in the food. Some people even put it on watermelon. And I kind of bugged Mike Potker, who's probably not here, but the first time I saw people do that was here in Cochrane, and putting salt on water, they said, it makes the watermelon taste sweeter. Anybody do that? Yeah, we got some. Does it make it taste sweeter? Okay. So salt draws out the flavor that's there. And who doesn't like a good steak that's got just a bit of salt, a bit of pepper to draw the flavor that is in there? This is one of the things I think Jesus is saying here. You are not the main event. You draw attention to the main event, and the main event is Jesus. Salt as a preservative. It's used to preserve things, and I believe Jesus' reference to you and I as being salt includes that we're to be involved in the world, involved in our community, to preserve truth. The world needs to know about Jesus, and he's telling us that our lives need to preserve truth so that others can be drawn to him, that others can see who he is. Salt makes you thirsty. Sit down for a snack, eat some salted peanuts, some chips. Soon enough, you're looking for something to quench your thirst. I think another one of the things Jesus is saying here is that the way you live your life is to make other people thirsty for Jesus. It goes on to say that a lack of saltiness in salt gets it binned, gets it thrown out, gets it tossed on the street to be trampled under foot. He said that salt that isn't salty is useless. Salt is actually very stable, and it takes like an electrical reaction to make it become something else. So salt, as we tend to use it on our tables, can't really lose its saltiness. So what is it that Jesus is saying here? Well, salt in Jesus' time and in some places, even in today's time, is not the pure, pure salt. Most of the table salt is refined where it's just salt. Jesus' time, other places, we get salt that has other things in it. A little bit of clay, some minerals, some other things, and it changes that salt. And what it means to be less salty is that if that salt that has other stuff mixed into it gets diluted in some way, so it's in some water or liquid of some sort, the salt part of that mixture washes away and it's diluted. And so what's there is less salty, and all you're left is non-salty stuff. So I think that's what Jesus is saying and warning us not to get diluted by the world, by things around us, but to stay salty. So I don't know what that is for you, but get rid of it. What might be diluting your saltiness? Because we need to stay salty to draw attention to Jesus. Let me digress just a little bit and talk about those extra bits and pieces in salt. And that's just a picture of different salts from different areas. You can see the different colors, slightly different texture, different moisture content, different flavor, because of the extra things that are in them. So I don't know that Jesus was really referencing this, but as I like to cook, I collect salts from different places I travel and use them in my cooking, and they have a different effect on the food. I think you and I are like salt in that way as well. We're not homogeneous salt, exactly the same as table salt, everywhere, all the time. We've got different giftings, different skills, different abilities that God has given us that add a different color and a different texture, and your particular saltiness is needed in the kingdom. You don't get to kind of say, well, my friend here next to me is salty enough for for all of us, so I can be less salty, because you have something different to offer that God has given you. So it might be a bit of a stretch. I'm not sure Jesus was saying that, but it matches with other scripture that would say we're different parts of the body and we have different things to offer. And so that saltiness, I'm not sure what the Cochrane saltiness particulars are or your particulars are, but they're there. He talks to us and says next that you are the light of the earth. Light, like salt, which enhances flavor, light illuminates something else. We are light not in the sense of being an attraction to ourselves. We are light so that others can see Jesus. And why does our light illuminate Jesus? Because our light isn't actually ours. It's Jesus' light that's in us, and it's meant to bring glory to him. He then states the obvious by saying we're meant to be clearly visible. A city on a hill, you can't just kind of put a cover on it, and you wouldn't. You want to see where the city is. You don't turn on the lights in the room, you don't light a candle, and then find something to put over it so that the light's not there. That would just be silly. Jesus is saying, you are light. Be seen. Make me known. Do good deeds, not to draw attention to yourself, and have others go, oh, what a nice person he or she is, but to draw attention to Jesus so that God is glorified. To wrap up this little delve into Scripture here, I want us to go back to the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So the piece I talked to you, I told you, was the Beatitudes. Because I think in the beginning of his message, Jesus told us what salt and light looks like before he then said, you are salt and light. So I don't have it on the screen. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 5 or open it on your phone, verses 3 to 11, we're going to read that together, listening to what being salt and light in Cochrane, in Canada, and around the world looks like. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. When you and I realize our need for God, when we seek justice, when we're humble, we're being salt. When you're pure, when you're merciful, when you work for peace, you're being light. When we're being persecuted for doing what's right, we're being salt and light, drawing attention to Jesus. I'd like you to think a little more today as you go through the week. What is it that being salt and light in your context looks like in some of your relationships? I don't want it to stay in the metaphorical stage, but what does that mean for you to draw attention to Jesus in the relationships that you get to be a part of this week? It's hard, but we don't have a choice. Jesus says, you are light, you are salt. And so I think it's worth the time we could take to say, well, in what way am I doing that in Cochrane and globally? So I want to tell you a little bit about how you are involved in that globally, in your praying and your giving.